The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
In the Old Testament, doesn't believe really mean perform? And what would that mean for John 3:16? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on this episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. Do you have a question that keeps you up at night? Well, you can zap it to us through email. radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for listening to the show, and I want to give a shout out to one of my favorite people, Rosie Millett.
Rosie Millett!
Now, her husband, I'm not so sure about.
Walt is one of our favorites.
No, I love
Hi,
Walt.
Walt and Rosie.
Hi, Walt and Rosie. Rosie works our conferences. She does coffee and whatnot. So if you should come to our national conference, and you'll get to meet Rosie. But stay away from Walt. He's cranky.
No, Walt is not cranky. Walt's a great guy.
He's a good guy. All right, here's a question from Isaac. He says, I appreciate reading many of your articles online, and I'm trying to study the lordship debate for myself. I know that John 3:16 is used to support the idea that only belief is necessary for salvation. But from what I understand, how is it possible to use John 3:16 when those words are stated before Jesus died on the cross and still not in the quote-unquote age of grace? Before Jesus took our punishment on the cross, the Jews had to do many things to be saved, the main one being sacrifices. That would imply that since John 3:16 was before the death and resurrection of Jesus, belief actually means performing the actions that the Jews had previously done in order to be saved. I may have incorrectly stated something, so please let me know.
All right.
There's a whole lot to go through
here. There is. And what I like about Isaac is he's on the right track, but he's made a few major errors.
Right.
What he is saying is that because he knows that Old Testament people were saved by works, by animal sacrifices and obeying the law of Moses.
Right.
Therefore, he knows that John 3:16 was reporting a time before the birth of the church. So these were Old Testament people. Therefore, his conclusion is belief there must include animal sacrifices and keeping the law of Moses. Well, the problem with all of that is his major and minor premises are not correct.
All right, let's go over these one by one. First of all, were Old Testament people saved by works?
No.
All right, defend that for me.
Okay, Jesus is speaking to an Old Testament person, Nicodemus, and he tells him that whoever believes in him, in Jesus, will not perish but has everlasting life. So how were Old Testament people saved according to Jesus Christ? By faith in Christ.
Right.
Isaac has it completely backwards. He should revise his understanding of how Old Testament people were born again.
That's right.
By looking at John 3:16. But we also see this, for example, in John 8:56, where Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he was talking about the fact that Abraham believed in Jesus, and he knew Jesus was going to come, and he knew he had everlasting life by faith in Jesus. We also see that in Hebrews chapter 11, we're told that Abraham was looking forward to a city, the New Jerusalem. And, of course, remember in the Old Testament that Abraham buried his wife Sarah in the Promised Land, and then he was buried in the Promised Land. And why? Because he knew he was going to spend eternity in the Promised Land, and he wanted his bones buried where he would be forever in his resurrected, glorified body. And, of course, we have Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness.
Right.
And that's repeated in Romans chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 3. So
I was going to say about Galatians, if I can add this.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul's whole argument in Galatians is that no one could be justified by the law.
Right.
That was never a possibility. That's not even the function of the law. The law, at least one of the functions, is to convince you of your sin. There's no way you can live under the law and think, hey, I'm doing it. Well, I guess that is possible, but anyone who's spiritually sensitive or morally sensitive, once you try to obey the law, you realize, wow, I failed this thing in thought, word, and deed in 100 different ways. No one could be saved by the law.
Absolutely. And you see the same thing in Jesus' teaching in John 6:28 and 29. The Jews ask him, what works must we do that we may work the works of God? They're right. asking about plural works.
Yeah.
And he says, this is the work of God, singular, that you believe in him in whom he sent.
Right.
So it's simply a matter of believing.
Right. So faith alone isn't a new message for an age of grace. It is the only way anyone was ever saved. That's why Paul appeals to Abraham in Genesis 15:6. It's by faith apart from works. Just by faith he's reckoned righteous. So that kind of deals with one aspect of Isaac's question. How about a second aspect? Does grace only begin after the cross?
No. You see, it's a mistake to call the church age the age of grace and then the law of Moses to be the age of law.
Right.
There's always been grace. Salvation has always been by grace through faith apart from works.
Well, what would you say about John 1:17? For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ.
Well, it seems to me that he is making a distinction there, John is, between law and grace. But he's not suggesting that people during the age of law were born again by works. After all, the church age did not begin until Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people that John was ministering to before Jesus died and rose and ascended, those were people under the law. But yet they were also born again by faith, not by works.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's basically backwards thinking. If we say Old Testament people were saved by works, then guess what? So are we.
Okay.
The saving message never changed.
Right.
The same way Abraham was saved. And by the way, Abraham was before the law. And yet Abraham was saved the same way Moses was saved. And the same way that Elijah or Elisha or Samuel or David or
right.
Nicodemus. I remember when Jesus came to the temple at 40 days of age, there was an old man there named Simeon, and he was rejoicing that God allowed him to see the salvation of Israel.
Right.
And there was an old woman named Anna, and she was rejoicing that she was able to see the one who was the Redeemer of Israel, the one who was going to restore the nation. And so there were believers, and they weren't workers. They did work.
Yeah.
But they weren't working for everlasting life. They right. were working to please God.
All right, what about this other part of Isaac's question? He says, if the Jews were saved by works, which is not right, but let's say
right.
if they were, that would imply that since John 3:16 was before Jesus' death and resurrection, belief actually means performing the actions that the Jews had previously done to be saved.
No.
So does belief mean performing actions?
No, it doesn't. And what you would conclude if his premise were correct is that there was a dispensational change that took place when Jesus came on the scene.
Right.
And that the way people were saved up until that point changed during the ministry of Jesus.
Right. Well, and actually, the dispensational change would have also changed, on Isaac's view, the definition of faith. Somehow faith meant obedience back then, but maybe today faith doesn't mean obedience anymore. Faith means something else.
Well, I guess, but you know.
But that's wrong.
You can't work that out even in Genesis 15:6.
Right.
Abraham simply believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness.
I mean, people struggle with this a lot. We've often said this. There isn't a kind of an explicit way of teaching work salvation. You say you need to believe this, and you need to do this. But then there's more of a sneaky way of saying, well, works aren't necessary for salvation. But if you really believe,
right.
then you will do X, Y, and Z. And so it's you just kind of have introduced works into the salvation equation by redefining faith. And that's kind of what I think Isaac is struggling with here.
Yeah. And let me say, even your point about Abraham in Genesis 15:6 doesn't work because faith there is simply faith. And so what you'd have to say under Isaac's view is that up until the Mosaic covenant, salvation was by grace through faith apart from works, then from the Mosaic covenant till the time of the ministry of John the Baptist, it was by works.
Yeah.
And then with John the Baptist and Jesus and the apostles, it became by grace through faith again. Of course, you have another problem because in Romans 4:6-8, Paul appeals to David, who was during the law of Moses, and says David knew the blessedness of the man whose sins were forgiven by faith apart from works. And he's tying that into justification by faith alone. And so it's always been by grace, through faith, apart from works. By the way, in terms of believing, when he says whoever believes in him should not perish but has everlasting life, John 3:16,
Yeah. The
word believe occurs 99 times in John. One of the ones that makes it crystal clear what believe means is in John 11:25-27, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, there's believe number one, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me, there's number two, shall never die.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, do you believe this? That's number three.
Yep.
And then number four, she says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world.
Yes.
None of that has anything to do with works. When he says, do you believe this? He isn't saying, tell me about animal sacrifices. Mm-hmm. He's not saying, tell me about your prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your works. And when she says, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world, she's simply saying what she's convinced is true. And so just look at John 11:25-27 and the four uses of pistuo there.
Right.
Real clear. Believing is being persuaded.
So just to recap, number one, no one has ever been saved by works.
Right.
That was never possible. The whole point of the law is to show you can't be saved by works. Two, grace is not an age. There's not
Right. Really
an age. We have the church age, which is different from
Right. The
age of the patriarchs and the age of
Right. Israel.
But grace is just God's favor
Right. Towards
us. It's not an age. It's,
Right. It's
the way we're saved by faith apart from works. He shows us that favor. And three, believing is not a work. Believing is believing, and works are works. And that's why Paul's whole argument can be we're saved by one and not the other.
Right. Romans 4:4-5 makes that real clear, that if we work, then there's a debt owed. But if it's not work, if it's by grace, then it's simply a gift.
Right. So we can use John 3:16 today because that has been the only way anyone has ever been saved, by believing in the Messiah for life that can never be lost.
Amen.
All right. Thanks for the question, Isaac. Send your follow-ups to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Did you miss an episode of Grace and Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And we have all our past episodes right there on the site. In addition to this, we have all kinds of other free resources available for you. It's all designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On this program, we keep our requests for financial partners to a minimum. But if you are interested in becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus, you can find out how to do that also at faithalone.org. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether you can be baptized twice. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.